Well, we are now joined by our guest today, Debs from Tom's Trust. Debs, it's lovely to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Now, you have been on the show before with Neil Whiteside many, many years ago.
Yeah, and I've just been reminded 4 years ago.
He remembers.
It must have been that long, yeah.
He remembers because he sent a little message.
As soon as I sent an email saying you were coming in last week, he sent me a text message saying, he's very excited, saying that you're a lovely, inspirational woman.
Aww.
So there we go. I doubt he's listening to this at the moment, but he'll hear this back.
So thanks for coming back. And I'd love you to tell us a bit more about Tom's Trust, because it is a local charity. I'm sure people will have heard of it.
Yeah.
But just you tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I started, Andrew, Tom's dad and myself, started Tom's Trust in 2011. We lost Tom in 2010. He was 9 and he died of a brain tumour. And in his short illness, which was 7 months from diagnosis, we did support other charities, actually. And we kind of thought long and hard about it, and we wanted a legacy to him, really. And as parents, and as parents who've been in that awful situation, we understood exactly what was missing, and it was clinical psychology, supporting the child from the point of diagnosis and the families and the siblings. And it was available, but a little sporadic, and there was one clinical psychologist working at Addenbrookes 3 days a week, looking after all children with all types of cancer. So that gives you an understanding of, you know, what a minimal cover there was, really. And as I say, an education we didn't really want as parents. So we understood that how much we, and also Tom, and also Tom's sisters would have benefited had there been a lot more support there. So we set up the charity from that point. And originally we're going to employ one clinical psychologist, but we ended up partnering up with two other charities, local charities, or regional charities rather, and creating the UK's first rehabilitation service dedicated to children with brain tumours. And that means that the other two charities provided other therapists within the service, and we provided the clinical psychologists, and all the therapists worked together in a joined-up approach in a way that hasn't been done in the United Kingdom before. So it's a really innovative, inspirational, exciting service that's happening here in Cambridge, and the children, as a result of that, are getting the kind of support that they just wouldn't, and they don't anywhere else. So so we're very proud of it. We now employ two clinical psychologists at a cost of about £130,000 a year. It's all become very serious, and so we've got a lot of fundraising to do, and it's just evolved, and we're very excited about it.
So how Addenbrookes is the only hospital in the UK at the moment to offer that particular service?
A joined up rehab service within an NHS setting, yeah, absolutely. And from the point of diagnosis. So basically the children, when they're diagnosed, obviously you can imagine it's just the most devastating time for everybody. It's terrifying. They get what's called like a sort of prescriptive approach. So the parents and possibly the child, if they want, get to meet all the therapists together to work out what's the best sort of pathway and form of care for the child going forward. And actually the clinical psychologist is the pivotal point within that, because they feed the information about the child's wishes and wants and hopes and fears to the other therapists, so that they can get the right kind of targeted support. And early intervention changes lives and outcomes and makes a difference, and these children will, you know, possibly lead an independent life, you know, drive a car, go to university. It will change their lives getting early intervention.
So the children, how many children roughly do we know?
In East Anglia, approximately 32 children are diagnosed a year. That's just increased actually over the last year. They don't know why, but yeah, the numbers are going up. So and the problem with brain tumours, it's one of these things that, you know, that there's so much funding that goes towards leukemia and other cancers, and there's no such thing as a better or a good childhood cancer, but it's underfunded, brain tumours, and it's also under-recognised because of the low diagnosis rate. But, you know, it's the biggest cancer killer of children under 15. And if you're diagnosed, it's not a cancer you walk away from, because you will need either physical or cognitive, i.e. learning support, either immediately or for a long period of time, or possibly for the rest of your life. So the figure's an accumulative one. So for every child that's diagnosed, they are still needing support up to 5, 10, 15 years later.
I mean, how do you fundraise? What sort of things do you do?
Everything.
Because, yeah, you need to just...
Yeah, we do lots of... we do some of our own fundraisers each year. We do a fun run every year. Every couple of years, we do a big fundraiser. We did a circus last March on Jesus Green, which was brilliant. It was such good fun. We're a tiny charity, as myself and one other person working, and then we depend on volunteers really coming into the office to help us out. We have a lot of people supporting us, doing marathons, Paris marathon, you name it, and doing all sorts of fundraisers all over the place. So in terms of being out there and fundraising, there's a lot of stuff going on, sometimes two or three times a week, but you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. We rely on corporates. We're looking for corporates, local corporates to support us, and trusts and grants. You know, there are people out there who are dedicated to certain charities, you know, within certain guises, you know, health and children, who will support us, and we apply to that as well. So it's busy, you know, tin rattling, everything. We do everything, and raising our profile is really important so that people know about our work.
Is there anything coming up that people can get involved with, or
the next one we've got, actually, we've got more summer based stuff, which is the fun run in the summer down in Triplow, which is actually quite poignant because Tom is buried in Triplow, and so it is a lovely event because they were his friends and they got together as a committee of children and organise this event. It's been running, this will be its fourth or fifth year, I think. And so that's grown and grown and grown. We do that. We've got a fundraising dinner again in July. If you look on our website, you can see everything. But we've got the Cambridge Half Marathon coming up in March. We've got about 30 runners for that. So go along and cheer them on. And then we've got our first Silver Bond place in the London Marathon. So lots, you know, there's just lots and lots of stuff. If you look on our website, you can see pretty much everything that's going on and get involved in a way that, you know, whichever way you want. And there's lots of ways to get involved in the charity, volunteering, you know, coming along to events, helping at events, or even if you want to come and help us out in our office, you know, there's loads of ways to get involved.
So Tom, he was nine. He was obviously active nine. I imagine
he was lovely.
He was, yeah, wanting to always do stuff.
He was. And, you know, he had lots of friends. And the school that he was at, St Faith's in Cambridge, and the St Faith's have massively supported us. You know, we've been going for 5 years now, and at the beginning, when you try to start a charity, it's we were asked to raise £215,000 for our first clinical psychologist, and when you've raised £100, you think, how on earth?
Where do you start with that?
Where do you start exactly? Where do you start? You know, I've never done anything like this before. But community, and this is a lot about your radio station as well, community get behind you in a way that is so inspiring. And people are incredible. They're so kind. They give up their time and they really support you. So we were driven. You know, we our thanks go to everybody who got behind us to give us the platform to do our work, because everybody just got out there and did stuff. And helped us to sort of start fundraising, really, which was, you know, and, it, you know, in the first year we raised over £100,000, which we would never have believed we could do. And it was community. It was just about community. It was about people wanting to help and to support and you know, and remember Tom. And it's kind of grown into more than his legacy now, I think, because, you know, ultimately we'd like to do what we're doing here in Cambridge with other UK hospitals, and our work is very focused on not stopping until all UK hospitals have the or are giving the kind of support that they're giving to the children here now in Cambridge.
Do you get any feedback? I mean, do you get to talk to other parents?
And we do, actually, yes. And we, you know, obviously it's a very sensitive time for parents. Mm. We have, you know, we do get contact from parents who've been through the service, who are just very grateful, and you know, and get in touch with us and let us know, and that's wonderful to hear. And also, I sit on the steering committee for Brainbow, which is the name of the service. We're very hands-on as a charity. We absolutely see where every single penny is spent. And because I sit on the steering committee, we hear all the case studies. So we meet the therapists on a regular basis, and they come and they sit around the table with us and they tell us about the case studies of the children, obviously on an anonymous basis. And so we hear about the work, you know, firsthand, and everything that's been going on. And it's really hard to hear, but it's really, really inspirational to hear what's changing here in Cambridge, and how this group of children are just being supported in a way that is almost impossible to explain.
Mm, I think we're very, very lucky, obviously, that Adam Brooks does have that facility, thanks to you.
Yeah.
I mean, incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
And obviously, you've got two girls, yes, is that right?
Yes.
And they obviously get involved and do stuff.
They do. Actually, Maddie, my eldest, spoke at the Lees for the first time about the charity. They did a fundraiser there, sort of in September, October last year. And she stood up and spoke about her brother and about the charity. And that was quite a moment. And Evie obviously helps at fundraisers and stuff. There's so much to do. But, you know, it's not hard work, because it's just about being out there meeting lovely people, and everybody's cheerful and everybody, you know, it's just so much fun. So, yeah, the girls get involved when they do and can, which is lovely. And you never know, one day one of them might take over my job.
What were you doing before you started the charity? Because obviously this has engulfed your whole life now.
It has. And I feel very, it sounds like a very strange thing to do, because obviously, you know, Tom's not here and... You know, we would do anything to change that. But I feel like I've got the best job on the planet. Mm. I worked in the oil industry doing logistics for years, and then had Maddie, and she was diagnosed with diabetes. And so I gave up work. And so I was at home for quite a long period of time. And, you know, sometimes things happen for a reason. So it meant that I actually spent as much of my time with all my children as I should.
Yeah.
And you know, I ultimately was a working mum, really, and just, you know, fate just changed that. Mm. And now I look back and think, well, you know, that's the way it was supposed to be. So but yeah, it's great, and I love my work. You know, it's tough going out there fundraising at the moment. You know, the British public are incredibly generous.
It amazes me how much money, yeah, charities continue to raise, even through times where people haven't really got that spare money.
I think
but
we're
they still find
actually,
it.
As a nation.
We are, I think so.
For our giving.
We are, and you know, it's taxed income, and a lot of people ask me the question, and it's a tough question, you know, about why, if they're paying their taxes, isn't this provided, this sort of service, in any case? And the simple answer is that if we don't provide it, it's not there. So, yeah, it's been a surprise to me how much charitable income in the NHS, you know, goes to supporting. But the fact is, it's all work that supports people in a way that they can't be or won't be supported in any other way. So, yeah, so we're very proud to be able to, you know, support children with brain tumours like that.
I think the clinical psychology element is interesting,
yeah,
really interesting, because obviously there's the medical side of it.
Yeah.
And you get that. But, you know, like you say, how it affects you and,
yeah,
your feelings and everything is such a massive part,
yeah,
of any illness.
It is. I went down to the APPG, which is the All-Party Parliamentary Group, down in London, and they are trying to change the amount of funding that goes into research for brain tumours. And they had a panel, and on that panel were some, I think there's a girl in her 20s. I've been down there a few times, and they have different panels every time. And, you know, the thing that came across to me was, obviously all support is important, but the thing that was missing was clinical psychology, because I don't think people understand it. They don't understand the importance. And this woman had, you know, as a result of having a brain tumour, lost her job. You know, she'd been depressed. You know, her whole life had changed. And she hadn't had any clinical psychology support, which would have helped her to understand her situation better and to process it better. And that was the kind of message that came across to me. So we are unique as a charity, because that's not being done by any other charity for children, certainly for children. And I just don't think people understand it. I don't think people understand the importance of it. Mm. For Tom, you know, he didn't have the chance to play football with his friends, for example, and he got to speak about his fears and what he was scared of and what he wanted to change and what upset him and what made him feel anxious. And they're not necessarily going to tell you that as a parent. Mm. So then the clinical psychologist can pass that information on to you. Mm. And in the case in Cambridge, they pass it on to the other therapist. And then you can support them.
Mm.
You know, whereas they're going back to their peer groups after being in hospital for long, long periods of time, you know, being isolated from all their friends who are just getting on with their lives. And it's a very, very difficult situation for a child, and it's a difficult situation for a child to articulate and to process. So it gives them a platform and a place to do that.
Yeah, because it's a very difficult age anyway. I mean, growing up, and you know, that
absolutely.
There's enough, you know, there's enough going on, isn't there, dealing with your hormones and,
exactly.
And just everything. And then an illness for whatever, whether you're a child or an adult,
absolutely.
Changes life forever afterwards.
It
you
does.
Know? And yeah, I think it's a really important factor that you say, like, not many people would even consider or think about.
No, and as I say, you know, originally there was one clinical psychologist there working 3 days a week, and now that's changed. And that's a change for the better. And it's the parents as well, because when the parents are supported in a way that we weren't, they're the first person who will support the child in a way that, you know, that must be supported. So you are really holding the family together. Mm. And so there's all sorts of levels of it. Mm. And then another part of what we're trying to do is support for up to a year the families who sadly do lose their children in a way that they can't get that support as well. And, you know, some people can afford to go and privately get support, and most people can't. Mm. And then it's offered to them. So that's a really good thing. Yeah, it's there, and it wasn't.
Mm. And so you and Tom's dad, Andrew, were in agreement with this. This is something you wanted to do.
Yeah, we co-founded the charity together. Yeah. You know, I work with the charity on a daily basis, and Andrew sits as a trustee. We've got other trustees now. And one of them was our GP when we lost Tom. One of them was one of Tom's rugby teachers. You know, it's very personal, and everybody knew Tom. One of them's a clinical psychologist. So, you know, it really works, and we work together as a team.
Yeah, it sounds very personal. And Cambridge is... you know, it's a place where I think we can get things done, which is quite nice. I think you've got a lot of
it's
support.
It's a great city.
It is 11:45 and we are talking about Tom's Trust with Debs, who was the co-founder of the charity, who's with us this morning.
And Debs was just talking about how you get famous people or celebrities to do a tea for Tom's Trust.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, with their hands, literally just forming the letter T. We had Tom Hiddleston just before Christmas, which was very exciting.
There's a gorgeous picture of him on your website if you want to have a look at it.
Yeah, we've had Alan Carr. We've had various other people, actually, and it's just been wonderful. So if anybody bumps into a celebrity, do get them to do it and send us the picture, because it's wonderful for the charity.
It's a very simple thing for people to do, but it's a very effective thing for you, isn't it?
Oh, massively. Because, you know, it's about profile. It's about people. People, unless they know about our work, they can't support us. Mm. So if we can put ourselves in front of people, then that's great. And it's fun as well, you know. Mm. People love celebrity, as do I. And when the Tom Hiddleston picture came through, nobody was more excited than me. So you know, and I was just saying, actually, on Facebook, I think it was something like 70,000 people saw that. So, you know, we can't get that kind of reach any other way. And, you know, this is all about helping the children, so in a fun way. So, yes, if you bump into a celebrity, anybody, please do get them to do a tea for Tom.
I'm definitely going to be on the case with that. I'm going to be sending you.
Yes, go through your phone book.
Come on, yeah.
Oh, gosh, you could get, a whole line of Blue Peter presenters from the past. You'd be sorted.
And you said you ran a competition a couple of summers ago as well.
Oh, it was brilliant. And I think we might do it again this summer. We didn't do it last summer. I can't remember what we did last summer. The summer before, we did a tea on the beach. And so it was just about making some kind of, you know, letter T on the beach. And, you know, we had, people are so creative, it's brilliant. And it was some sort of beautiful shells in the Caribbean to, you know, this chap holding his son in a sort of letter T above his head, you know, flip-flops in tees, everything, you know, we had it all. And it was so much fun. And, you know, and it engages people with what we're doing. And it's in Tom's name. So, that was lovely. And I think the winner was the chap who held his son above his head. It was really hard to choose, actually, because they were all fantastic. But all these beautiful pictures come, you know, from all over the world. People sort of disappear off, don't they? So that was lovely.
Yeah, I like it. I think coming up with ideas is quite hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We also do tea parties for Tom. So we've got our mugs, Tea for Tom, as in TEA, but obviously with the tea that we've got, the charity tea. So in the summer we had lots of tea parties for Tom, and it's Tom's birthday at the end of June, and we were sort of encouraging people to hold picnics and tea parties for Tom around his birthday at any other time, actually, and that was lovely too. So again, it's about community, it's about getting together and, you know, and having a reason to do that.
That's a really, really nice idea.
Yeah.
So we have we're doing a charity of the month, aren't we? Am I allowed to nominate Tom's Trust as one of our charities of the month?
Yeah, for a future month. I was just thinking that. Yes definitely.
I think you should.
Yes, definitely. I nominate Tom's Trust.
I do too.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We'd like to. I'm now on board. I want to do stuff. Yeah,
oh, that would
be really nice.
Yeah, it'd be
to
lovely.
Get a bit more. Yeah, get you some
money.
And as
money. I say, we're a very young charity.
Yes.
No, we've only been going for a little while.
You've achieved a lot in that.
Yeah, we have. But you know, we've got a long, long, long way to go. And as I say, we need to raise £130,000. You know, for just to keep supporting the post that we've got here in Cambridge. And that's a lot for, you know, a little charity. So we really do rely on everybody's support, and we're out there ourselves doing as much as we can. So any support and anybody passing on the details of Tom's Trust or, you know, doing stuff for us, just look at our website because there's lots of things and ideas and stuff on there. So
when you started the charity, did you have anybody involved that gave you advice as to what to do from other people that have been involved in charities in the past?
I had the most bizarre experience. I had an email invitation to Downing Street after a year and I thought it was a joke. And so I went along thinking, I'm not really sure, but the Conservative government, it's basically a networking thing, but for much larger charities, so they must have trawled through and found a couple of sort of, you know, brand new charities. And I was lucky enough to get involved and go along. I just went along myself. I had no idea what I was doing. There were all sort of people, you know, from Click Sergeant and, you know, Macmillan, all the big charities were there. And I met somebody from the Waits Foundation, and Waits are basically a construction company, but they also run a foundation. And I badgered them and asked them if I could please go and see them. And they said yes. They wouldn't grant me any money, but they would happily give me some advice. And they were brutal with me, actually. You know, there are a lot of charities that start up as legacies to children, and you need to survive after 2 years, after community is still behind you, but not in the way. You can't expect people to keep supporting you in the way they do right at the beginning. And we're lucky enough for them to mentor us continuing now. And they then granted us £15,000, which was the biggest grant we'd ever had at that stage. They gave us some really, really good advice. I listened. I've never done this before. I just listened. And we go back and we say, look, this is what we've done. This is what we're doing. What are we doing wrong? And they listen to us and they tell us. They know. And you need that kind of advice. And we were just lucky enough to stumble across it, really, or just be annoying enough to, you know, to
get the invitation to Downing Street in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So, you know, so we have been very lucky. But, you know, you just need to keep asking questions because, you know, even when I'm doing this in 10 or 15 or 20 years' time,
there's always something to learn.
There's always something to learn. And you're not right about everything. You've got to just, you know, keep your eyes and your ears and everything open. So we were very lucky, and we do phone them reasonably regularly and say, what's this bit? What's that bit? I don't really understand that. And how do we do that? And we listen.
Mm.
And it's very important to do that.
Brilliant.
I think you are brilliant. I can't imagine how much hard work it must be.
Oh, it's the best work, but I mean it. When I say I love my job, you know, we laugh all the time. We're very noisy. and it's a good way to spend your day. It's a really good way.
I feel very lucky. And it would be great to, like you say, get this out into other hospitals in the UK.
Absolutely, we're already potentially working with one other hospital. We're hoping to work with them later this year. That's a massive leap for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's terrifying, but I think you've just got to do these things. So fingers crossed that comes off and we'll be able to tell you all about it later in the year.
I wish you so much luck.
Thank
you so much to you and Evie for coming in. Hi, Evie.
Sitting here very quietly, terrified as anything.
Nice. Come to a radio show. Don't go to school. No.
It's much more fun here, trust me.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Absolutely. Pleasure.
Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely talking to you. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you.